I'm going to open up in prayer, and we'll get started. Father, I thank you this morning for your presence. So many of us have been touched just in a moment of worship, just giving you our heart. You've healed us in those moments. That's been church. Good enough for us just to be a moment in your presence. I pray that your presence will carry over into your word today. I wouldn't mess it up. Father, I'd walk right in spirit and in truth, and I deliver your heart in a way that needs to be delivered. But it's a great stake. Help me serve it to the folks well today, that we'd all eat and we'd be nourished by it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. A Quiet Place 2. Anybody familiar with that movie out right now? Mm-hmm. The younger kids go, yeah, I'm not a scary movie guy. I don't like scary movies, especially this isn't one of those, but it has to do with the demonic or anything crazy like that. I'm out. You know, I remember I saw my first scary movie, I think, at 5 years old, and I said, no, I'm tapping out of that. It's not what I want. I'm out. You know, my parents needed to go on a date, and they were young, so they had to take me. There's no babysitter, so I just spent most of the movie like this. You know, cured me of scary movies. You know, I don't like them, but this movie that's coming out hit me funny one day because I was going to go someplace else this morning. I didn't watch the movie, but I watched the trailer. And it's called A Quiet Place 2. And the premise of this movie, from what I understand, I've asked some fans that I know that are close into my life about these things. And they said it's basically a movie that if you make a sound, you get eaten by an alien. So the whole movie is be quiet, right? It's basically the theme of the movie. So there's spiritual truth there. There's spiritual truth there. Develop a quiet place or it could kill you. And I think A Quiet Place 2 is what, yeah. I think I got my title up there. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at Cheyenne. She's so clever when she does stuff. I don't know what she put up there. But this is going to be a prelude to a season I think we're going to hit for the church. A possible season, I know this is going to be unpopular words, fasting and praying. Yeah, it gets quiet when you even say those words, you know. It won't be so terrible, actually. It's going to be preparing us for what's next, our mission, right? I don't have any pictures of the Blues Brothers, but they had this, you know, a mission from God. We're here, we're on a mission from God, and sometimes we're lacking quiet to hear, fasting and praying. And so your, you know, hip progressiveness sometimes is a spiritual body of Christ. You want to sometimes, right? We don't think those words like fasting and praying are cool. We'd rather have praise and worship. Pastor, let's talk a little about praise and worship. You know, let's do that. Let's talk the 7 steps so I can be physically, emotionally, spiritually fit to kill it next year. Put that in a title for me, you know. And I do those things. It's great. But I just wanted to tell you, if you're seeking a closer walk with God, it's going to take more intimacy. If you're really seeking a closer walk with God and it's important to you, you're going to have to learn how to be quiet. Fasting, quiet meditation is just it's a novel concept, you know. We use them usually for big situations. You're going to fast and pray. Someone's like, oh, you don't know. Someone's in the hospital. It's time to fast and pray. Right? That's when you use it. Or pray for me, Pastor. Why? Because I'm going to go talk to a homeless guy that talks to himself and dresses like 7 women and wears a big crazy crown. I'm going to talk to him. Better go fast and pray. You know? The scriptures talk about the importance of fasting and pray, you know, like in those things. Like fasting and praying, she's like Marine boot camp. Once you've done it, you've done it. I fasted and prayed once. Yeah, got that badge right here. That was a 75, the fasting and prayer badge. You know, I earned that. And sometimes we, myself included, it's not a really hip topic. And I would like to avoid it most of the time myself. You know, it's when you go to the Christian bookstore, the number one bestsellers are not usually books on fasting and prayer. You know, they're rarely found. You got to scam through them, you know what I'm saying? You got to check through. And I remember some of the most impactful fasting and prayer people in my life. Grandma Capozzi. Like, whenever I had a problem against the denomination I was being in, whenever I thought, everyone's just a bunch of fakes, I could look at her and go, she does it. In and out, she does it. Yeah, Mrs. Mallory, she's still praying for all you right now because I'm your pastor. She's like, they need prayer, Sean. If you're their pastor, they need prayer. You know, she's praying. Tupuala is a chief in Samoa. He's at church twice a day at the Catholic Church, and he's praying for his people. I know he is. He's the chief, and he has a heart for his people, you know. I taught a lot about fasting and prayer, but I wanted to think about the topic quietness a little more particularly, because I don't think we're ever really naturally quiet, right? If you were to practice now, if I were to ask you all to close your eyes, and I do this, you don't have to right now, because you might be new at church, like, what is this? You're going to pass out Kool-Aid? No. But if you're in ethos counseling, sometimes we tell people about temperaments and some people how they're comfortable. And we'll sit them as clients in our office and say, well, let's close our eyes for a second and we're going to be quiet for 5 minutes. And inevitably, in about 12 seconds, one of them goes, I can't handle it. We're going to sit here for 5 minutes and quiet. What kind of counseling is this? We're paying $75 an hour for this. Right? We have a problem being quiet. It makes us uncomfortable. It really does, right? I want to encourage you, practice. This is the season. I want to encourage the seekers of God that quiet must be sought. Say that with me. Quiet must be sought. A quiet's got to be created in our lives. I have to create space for quiet, you know? Even when in my car, when I'm driving, I've done really well with now I don't even, when I'm by myself, I typically don't listen to the radio unless I'm in a bad mood. And then the Lord says, should you be praying and not doing that? But I turned it off on purpose because I decided I'm going to be praying during that time. Praying is easier than being quiet. He's asked me a couple times recently to be quiet. And I'm pretty practiced at it. I'm not trying to cast stones at anybody else, but does anybody have a problem being quiet even when you're by yourself? Radio got to be on, TV got to be on, something got to be on, right? On the phone, on this, you know? I could pray, and you're praying, you're talking, right? You can't quiet. You have a hard time being quiet. It's going to be necessary in our life to learn how to be quiet. I'm going to talk a little about quiet. It's got to be prioritized in our life a little more as disciples. We love to praise, right? We love to worship. Why? One of the reasons we love to praise and worship is because it inhabits the praise of his people. The scripture says that he's in the midst of praise. So that's an opportunity to connect with God. If you have a hard time connecting with God, if you've ever said, you know, I want to connect with God more, I want to encourage you in praise and worship time, so if you can come together corporately, open your heart and your voice and your hands to God and see what happens. If you're looking to connect with him, make a connection point. When Ephraim wants up, he's like Superman to me. He's like, Papa, you know, he's like coming off the ground. He's got a little vertical already. I better catch him. You know, he's up. We need to connect with God. We need to get our antennas up, and praise and worship's a great place to do that. But there's another opportunity. Say opportunity. Yeah, Pastor Heidi had a key buzzword there. We often skip or we don't participate in stillness. Say quiet. Quiet meditation is a key too. It is, as a disciple of Jesus. If you want to connect with him, you know, we talk about daily reading his word, you know. We talked about the church and participation and charity, and we talk about all those things, but quiet has an intent listening to it. And we're not really good at listening, right? Listening for God is the key to connecting with him, right? Think about this in your relationships, right? If you're out on a date or with your spouse, and all they do is talk. Nonstop. Talking. From the moment you pick them up, bah, 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 they're talking and talking. So don't elbow your spouse right now. This is not appropriate. But they're talking, right? And the whole day long, and you get 15 minutes just before bedtime, and you go to say something, and they're out cold. How long do you think that relationship's going to last in intimate-wise? If one person's always doing the talking and never doing the listening. Just think about that. Think about any relationship that you have. If there's one person always doing the talking and never doing the listening, how successful are those relationships? You're not even marriage counselors, and you're going, no, that ain't going to work. But that's how we are with God. We do all the talking. I went through my prayers. I listed everything he needs to know that he needs to take care of for me today. It's like a honey-do list. Right there it is, God. And I'll remind him 7, 8, 9 times a day. Come on. That's our normal prayer life, isn't it? Honey-do list for God. That's what we do. when things require you, and things are going to require of you, right? People, animals, some of your animals grew your life. I know I got a Yorkie that has me wrapped around his paw. You know, cars, things, right? Many voices competing in your head. I mean, you have many voices in your head all the time, right? Ever felt overwhelmed by your needs? They're climbing out, screaming out to you. How about when your demand is at peak? What if when you're at peak demand, and when I'm at peak demand, I feel like Wonder Woman with bracelets on. Like, you got a problem? I'm going cutting through problems left and right. And then not by all great solutions, but I'm going to bet 80% I'm going to get it done. Boom, solution maker. Let's go. Fire problems at me. That's a bad position to be in. The first place I need to do is regroup. And I need to find him in a quiet place, right? Seek him in a quiet place. Say quiet place. And, you know, I started thinking about the bridegroom relationship. I got my anniversary recently, so I'm happily married, and I appreciate it's all God, and then the rest is Pastor Heidi. Yeah, she was a saint the moment she said yes, you know. But I started thinking about bridegroom relationships. Not being alone and quiet with your bride, then why marry her? If she don't want to be alone and quiet with you, why marry her? If she don't want to take the time to be alone and quiet with you, then would you marry her? You're like, Pastor, come on, we're awful quiet this morning. It's not the intent. But does you feel that? That's a God and his people relationship. He's asking us to maybe sometimes just slow the roll and spend a minute, you know? Silence the other voices. They can be loud. Sometimes the problem isn't you're not in a quiet place. You have too many other voices on. You know, I'm like that. The quiet place in our lives are like a soundtrack from the macabre. You know, this always playing. It's drowning out everything. The sounds in our life could become stone cold killers if we let them rule us. You let the people shouting you down, or society shouting you down, or media shouting you down, and make decisions. The constant voices of your life, and all you listen is to majority flow, majority rule, what pastor says. Don't live your life on what pastor says. Do live your life on what God says. What did he say? Take a time to be quiet and ask him. And then you zip it, Zippy. It's hard. It is so hard. I find myself starting to be quiet, and I have a spiritual gift that I get to have a prayer language, and I'm thankful for it. But I'm going to get quiet, God. Before you know it, I'm praying in my spiritual language. Before you know it, and the Lord is reminding me, goes, I told you to be quiet. I have ADD. You know that, Lord. You're still talking. Yes, Lord. You know, quiet place too. I rarely watch the scary movies, but it hit me so hard. I think I got a slide. Right? I think I have one. Maybe not. I don't know. If you're not quiet, it'll eat you up. That's the theme of what's going on in your world today. God wants to connect with people he always has. And he sent Jesus to make a way to connect with people. And then we get so caught up in the busy loudness of our lives. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of us actually would take 10 minutes to even think about sitting down and doing nothing but trying to listen? God never speaks to me. Maybe it's you never listen. Well, I tried to hear him on Sunday when you were preaching. There's a lot of noise in here. Well, there's a lot of noise in here, right? Find a quiet place to it or kill you. So I started thinking about as I'm preparing the scriptures, you know that almost all religions, and I didn't research all, some of you, you know, Google freaks will find something, I'm sure, but almost the majority of religions in the world encourage and value quiet meditation. It's one of the common things that they have in link. Quiet meditation. All of them. Isn't that interesting? If all of them have it, why would none of us do it? Yeah. We want God. You want God in a certain package, in a certain way, at a certain time. And to say really a certain thing, what you really want is say, God, here's my wish honey-do list. What'd you check off it? You can report back to me and tell me everything you did. Good God, here's a treat. Oh, that's dog. That's backwards. It's dyslexia, Pastor. But that's how we treat them sometimes. I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to help us. Why? Because I think God wants to do something crazy with us again, like he never did. Like there's a new thing coming. And if we don't hear, if we can't quiet ourselves to hear what God is saying, we're going to get in a mess. Ever get yourself in a mess, get ahead of God before? Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand, right? So quiet, in a logical, natural sense, is a for Jesus Christ disciples, right? It helps us center ourselves before God, right? Maybe get a little more accurate alignment, getting ourselves placed under God. Ever walk out from underneath God's kind of covering? I've done it before. You know, yeah, I want to do my thing, and I think, God, you should really do this because it's a great idea. Honestly, it's feeding children. But you want me to go over here and clean the bathroom? But I was going to feed children. Bathroom cleaning? Children. You love the children. You also love a clean bathroom? Okay. I'm just trying to be real. Sometimes that's how we'd rather be, right? He even asks us in his word to be slow to speak and quick to listen. I think dyslexia in the body of Christ, we are quick to speak and slow to listen. Like, oh, that doesn't say it that way? No, it doesn't say it that way. So I want to encourage us during this season to take some time and think about a couple things. Our emotional and spiritual and physical being depends healthily anyways on our connection with God. And if we never take time to connect with God, how are we going to get healthier? Right? Seriously. We're talking about mending our nets last week, right? Part of getting our nets healthy, right, and mended is our connection with God. You can have a bunch of strings on the ground, but if they're not connected, they're not catching any fish. All right, I'll move on because I got time frame, right? God has placed Sabbaths in this world, right, on purpose. As Christians, right? Weekly. Weekly, it's observe the Sabbath, right? No work. God appreciated that. Rest. He created a system, not just of weekly rest, which I violate on a regular basis. I'm trying to get myself in alignment. I'm trying to be honest with you. We need weekly thing. Why? Because God said so. I don't. I can go. I know you can go and go and go and go and go. But God said we need weekly rest to shut it down and trust him. Then he created the system of rest like it was became one of the top most important 10 things he wanted to tell humans at one point in time. Do you realize the speaking of rest was one of the top 10? Keep the Sabbath holy. Set it aside as rest. And then he gives a description. What do you mean by that? He said, I worked for 6 days and I took a day off and you're not me. So I worked for 6 days and I decided to take a seventh off and you're not me. So hi ho, hi ho. It's nonstop work week. Go do, 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 do. Hi ho, hi ho. God speaking to us. It's important. He put it in the original 10, right? And then in the Hebrew calendar, every 7 years, you are supposed to take a year off of work. I thought, man, that's a great retirement plan. He said, don't till your land. Let the wild, so plan all year long. Some of you big spenders. I'll just keep living. I'm making thousands. No, the Lord said, take a year off. Better plan that. He said, let your vineyards grow wild, right? He's making the land healthy again. He's resting the land. And he's getting people to trust in him to be their rest, not in the land. Because sometimes the Philistines take the land. Sometimes there's drought in the land. Sometimes the locusts are in the land. Sometimes they've been naughty and God said, you can have that land. Don't trust in the land. So every 7 years, and then every 49 to 50 years, depending on which Hebrew scholar you guys care to talk about, they would have a rest that was so big that they restored everything back to everybody that was ever taken. Every debt was canceled. And the whole nation was called to rest and rejoice together. Because there was another 50 coming. Another generation was coming up. We had to get them strengthened up and we needed to pour into them, right? I feel like God's saying that again. God desires we rest and rely on him, right? A pullover. Spiritual, emotional, physical pullover. Because if we don't, we're going to be in trouble. Say, I don't want any more trouble. Say, I need a quiet place. Yeah. Not my brilliant plans, right? We don't need those things. we spend quality and quantity time with the one we say we love? Say, Pastor, I thought you were getting off that. You were moving to the scripture. I decided not to. Like, seriously, quality and quantity time with the one we say we love. No, I'm not doing a marriage seminar right now. As disciples, we say we love him. I heard everybody sing it today. Some of us were moved to tears because remember the moments he just came in when no one could and helped us and healed us, right? And set us free. And then you start shouting over here and you're like, woo, you're remembering stuff in the middle of worship. You're like, I'm singing to Jesus, but I'm remembering things, right? You're popping off. But I want to ask this of us too. Do you remember him enough to give him quality and quantity time? Or you just love him at the big events? The one we say we love deserves quality time. It's kind of the proof that it's real love, isn't it? If I married Pastor Heidi and said, well, I'm going to put you in a house in Peru, I'll see you once a year, it's not a successful relationship going to bloom there, right? Most marriages wouldn't survive on that kind of trust. They wouldn't. They survive on very, you'd be shocked what most marriages are surviving on. And that's greater than most people are putting their relationship into God. I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about anybody but the church. Our church is awesome, but we're part of the big body of Christ too, right? I believe the marriages are just barely getting by, and it's time to take some quiet time. I think God's saying the same thing to his bride again. I'm about to do something. I'm about to birth something. Right. I want time alone with you in the honeymoon. I want to have honeymoon phase where it's all about me and you. Why? Because I'm about to birth something in you, church. I'm about to birth something. I need quiet, intimate time with you and your body to be strengthened. Why? Because when I birth something, when pregnancy comes, you start birthing the thing, right? You should have taken the time to rest. I'm prophetically trying to help us with the season we're in. Why quiet time is important. You're like, get to the scriptures then. I will. Quiet place. Say a quiet place. When your life is noisy, we need a quiet place. So let's do our first scriptures. Mark 18. Make 4, 18. I'm sorry. Okay. And others are the ones who seed is sown among the thorns. And they are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries and cares of the world, the distractions of this age with its worldly pleasures, none of us understand that. Not any of us is worried about a single thing. We skip through life completely oblivious of the distractions of this age and worldly pleasures. What are they? I don't know who he's talking to. And the deceitfulness, the false security or glamour of wealth. No one's chasing ducats, are they? No one's chasing the dollar. Or fame, and the passionate desires of all other things creep in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I found a picture, an original illustration that was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls that came along with the scripture, right there. That's how we live life, man, right there. And there's like 1,000 other weeds we planted around us. We're just, be choked out by them all. Jesus talked about it, right? We look at the value that God places on himself in quiet time. And so I want us to think about everything that's trying to keep us. You can't hear, like, if we were to communicate with this little flower, no matter what I said to her, she's not going to hear. Why? She's fighting for her life. She's being choked out. Take time to hear God. I got bill collector. I got bill collector. I got family problem. I got this. I got a little hitch in my get along. This thing's about to come off. I got problems. Hear God. And that is the moment in life we need to hear him the most. He warned us about it. So look, get close to me. Why? Because this will happen to you. Mark 1:35. Early in the morning, this is Jesus. Seeking time to be with his father was a priority to Jesus. You know that? So hard it's hard. I'm going to do a series coming up on the Holy Spirit. I'm behind off the pulpit now, so that's a problem. I'm doing a series on the Holy Spirit coming up. And I thought of this great analogy this morning because I feel like we separate, you know, we're taught three in one, and it is true. There's, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But our weird concept of it, I really want to formalize it, and it's just one God. Yeah. Right? Like, I'm going to use you as an example. My dad can write me a letter. Right? I heard from God in his word. My dad can video call me and encourage me. Right? Like a father can. But when I got to see him very touch, it's like Jesus' reaction. I got to touch him a little bit. Yeah. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all in one dad. Yeah. Word, video, and in person. That's God. You've got to take time to interact with God. And he gave us three different ways to do it. His word, you want to find me? I'm in there. I am my word. Well, the Holy Spirit. Ooh, don't be spooked by the Holy Spirit. Well, it's called the Holy Ghost. You don't got to act like that. It's a video download or a spiritual download from God himself to show you himself, Emmanuel, God in us. Same God, just in us now. All right, it's not in this wrong series. Just get back on pulpit. I'm here. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, there's metaphor for it there, you know. Uncertainness darkening your doorstep, still lingering. See God while it's still dark. Didn't matter, Jesus could see or not see. He had to go find his father. He had to go find his place. Jesus got up and left the house and went out to a secluded place and was praying there. Say a quiet place. Quiet time is very important to God. Secluded, to be alone. Remember the relationship of husband and wife. Being alone. To be quiet. Not to honeydew. But to just be with God. You'll be shocked the number of things he's said to me when I've taken the rare moments to just be quiet. He will say things to me that break my heart, and I instantly have to call somebody to apologize. And he'll say things to me like, no one saw that, but attaboy. Only in those moments. Those are the things that keep us alive. But we run past them. Jesus left the house to a secluded place and was praying there, secluded. God prioritized quiet with God. Jesus modeled the pattern, right? Quiet place of God's a priority. Finding him, seeking him was a priority. Luke 5, 15 through 16. Luke 5, 15 through 16. But the news about him was spreading farther and large crowds kept gathering. Say large crowds. You know, there are many voices in large crowds. Pastor Heidi and I, for anniversary, went to the Hale Theater to watch Steel Magnolias. They did a fantastic job. But the thing I thought was hilarious, more funnier than any other part of the movie, I'm sitting there at one point in time, just sitting there and waiting for the start, you know. And I said, hey, just listen. She goes, what do you mean? I was just, and it was like, all the voices, because it was like 80% ladies who brought all their lady friends. There was like six guys there. 95% ladies. I was trying to be kind. I was like, Pastor Sean, you're exaggerating, you know. 95% ladies. When ladies are out in the town, rarely do ladies have... The guys can go to a ball game and not say a word. Pastor Heidi would be like, you went out with Bishop Pierce fishing the other day. What did you guys talk about? Fish on. Get the net. Do you want a Snickers bar? That's what we talked about. You mean you spent all day? Yeah, that's what we did. We fished. You know, but the ladies that came to Steel Magnolias, they didn't go. No, it was, and you could hear this. It was like a buzz, like a power transformer in there. It was, around Jesus, our lives are like that, though. Our lives are just like that. Many voices with good intentions, right? Many voices with good intentions can drown out the one voice we're supposed to hear. Many voices with good intentions can still drown out the one voice we're supposed to hear. So the crowds, they gathered to hear him, right? To hear and to be healed of their illnesses. Say, but Jesus. So here we are in the ministry. Oh, he's killing it. Jesus, look at the miracles. And like if this was a modern day televangelist, Look, man, we are killing it right now. People are getting healed left and right, left and right. We need 14 more services, Jesus. Why? Because God needs you to move in the world. And Jesus was like, yeah, I'm here to do my Father's will. Let's go, another 14 services. Now, that's not what Jesus, how he responded. He didn't. I'm not against 14 services. I have friends that have a billion people in their church, and I love it. I'm not picking on big church. I'm talking about a concept of how we prostitute the gospel. And we should be quieting ourselves down to hear the God of the gospel. That's all I'm talking about. But Jesus himself would often slip away. How many times? Say often. What? How often did Jesus slip away? Often. I mean, the lover of all his sheep and people? He left his crowds whom he loved and gave his life for and laid his life down so their sins could be forgiven? He had to get away from them sometimes? Often. Often. He would often slip away to the wilderness, and what would he do? Pray in seclusion. Why? Say a quiet place. Jesus modeled it. We should think about it. Nudge your neighbor. Say, Jesus modeled it. You ought to check it out. All right. Jesus shows the important quiet place. Mark 6, 31 through 32. He invites his disciples to do a pattern. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've done that, he said, I made the exchange. Like he's forgiven me for my sins. He's cleansing my unrighteousness because he did it on the cross. I believe he bore the sins of the world. I believe that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then he's talking to us here, okay? He said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded, quiet place and rest a while. Say, rest a while. Remember the law of rest his father established? He kept it. Jesus invites us to rest. He says, rest a while, for there are many people who are continually coming and going, and they would not even find time to eat. Ever have your life schedule feel that way? Yeah. Like, don't look at me, retired people. I know they're like, but I'm talking to the majority of humanity, right? Like, wow, yeah, Pastor, I can't just continually coming and going in my life. Sometimes it's even hard time to eat. I'm just so busy. And they went away by themselves. Say by themselves. They went away by themselves in a boat to a secluded place. There's a theme here in the gospel I never noticed before. Jesus is talking a lot about the importance of a quiet place. Get a quiet place too, or it'll kill you. The world and all those voices are coming to eat you. If you can find time to take quiet with God and connect with God, everything you need will be in those meetings. Everything you need will be in those readings. Everything you need will be in the praise and worship that you find. The more you connect with God, the more intimate you become with him, the closer you are with him, what need of anything else? What comes your way that you can't handle? All of a sudden, you're David and Goliath against everybody. That's a big, giant problem. I got God. Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? I got a rock and I got God. You're going down, bro. That's our posture when we're connected to God. When we're not, we're like, I don't know, should we get a committee? Should we fight Goliath? Should we not fight? Should we run? Should we not run? Live to fight another day? Honestly, I didn't want to be here. My dad told me to bring bread and cheese up to the boys. God will have his will be done. See you guys. And he said, just shh. Maybe I want you to slay a giant. Maybe this is the year you become more productive than you've ever become before for the gospel in your life, in your marriage, in your ministry, in your finances, because you took time to go to a quiet place and just not listen to another teaching, another YouTube, another new season blast from the past, another worship song, but you go to listen to the God you love. That's your new schedule this year. Going to listen to the God that you love. It's going to be a getaway. You're going to find a quiet place for yourself. It's going to be a place where you're not continually in worship. Because sometimes we mistake worshiping God for quiet. Reading for quiet. True quiet is so hard to obtain. I'm challenging the body to get stronger this year. This is probably the most oatmeal message you ever got from me. But it'll keep you alive. Because if you can't be quiet, they're coming to eat you. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your most private room and close the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Private relationship with your Father. Isn't that important? Jesus is modeling it. He's saying it. Psalm 1:2. Say, I am the church. I want to learn to be quiet. Some of you are like, oh, Pastor, I can't say that right now. I got to pray. You don't even know. I was there at Steel Magnolias. I was watching you. Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he habitually meditates day and night. Do you know, sometimes part of your quiet can be just meditation. And I'm not talking, get out your yoga mat, you know, stretch like the girls did on Reach Night the other night, I guess. You know, I'm talking about taking a moment and say, Lord, you've been speaking to me about this scripture about blessed is better him to give than to receive. And you've been on me about it a little bit. I want to sit and I want you to talk to me about it. I want you to keep talking to me about it until I get everything you want to say. Get it all out. Do you ever sit with God long enough for him to get it all out? You want him to sit there long enough for you to get it all out? It's a one-sided relationship a lot of times, isn't it? Sometimes God's the henpecked spouse. Just shuffle behind me and just do the things I say. Prove that you're God to everybody in the supermarket. Okay. But that's our God relationship sometimes. And he's saying, I'm in love with you. I'm so in love with you. I sent my only begotten son. And I just want you to take a season to be quiet. Can you come and spend just some time with me and let me do most of the talking for a season? What a strong church will be if we can take time to be quiet. You take a quiet place too, or it'll kill you. Nudge your neighbor, say, it's time to be quiet. Psalm 4:4, tremble with anger and fear and do not sin. Meditate. What? That's hard enough. What? Lord, I'm stuck there. Right there. All of sin fallen short of glory of God. Okay. So meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Reflect on your sin and repent of your rebellion. Part of sometimes our quiet time is owning our crap. It is. Well, if she hadn't, if he hadn't, if this wouldn't, if this, I would have voted this and this would have happened. Get in the mirror, be honest with yourself and go, you got to start owning that. It looks righteous, but it's killing you. Or you seem holy, but the more you criticize everybody else, you are just bringing poison to everybody. You're like a divider of people. And you're in the body of Christ somewhere. And if you let God say that instead of a pastor to you, wow, your life will change and you'll minister to people. I'm trying to help us. This is the season. Part of our meditation is, oh, Lord, just speak greatness to me. Here I am. Speak of my greatness. Oh, Lord, tell me. I'm going to be quiet in a second. But tell me all the wonderful things about me. I'm going to read about them later to encourage myself. But you in my quiet time, tell me how wonderful I'm going to be someday. I'm ready. Go. Sometimes we need to go, Lord, search my heart and renew a right spirit in me. Search my heart and renew a right spirit in me. I want to draw away. I want to be told off by somebody in quiet anyways. I'm not the kind of person, don't rebuke me publicly. Right. I'm better now in Jesus, but you do it before Jesus, you might find yourself stuffed in a locker somewhere. Right. I want to hear that from nobody. Told you I had a bad attitude. Only reason I became a wrestler is the toughest guy I knew said he lost one fight in his life to a wrestler. I said, I'm going to wrestle. Sole motivation. Toughest guy got knocked by a wrestler? What about me? Had an attitude. He'll tell you I had an attitude. Don't tell him. God alone cleans up and gives us the courage to clear up. God alone will do that. Find time alone with him soon and let him talk to you about anything. Anything. I guarantee you, no matter how hard it is or how easy it is, it will be so good for you this year that it's going to change your life. All right, Psalm 62:5, and I'll start scaling up to close up here in a minute. I'll be quick here. I wrote a note. You know, you guys should be thankful for my emojis, to be honest with you. I wrote a note that says, be quick here, because it'll be uncomfortable. So there you go. There's my note. So I'm going to be quick here, because it's going to be uncomfortable. Okay. For God alone, my soul waits in silence and quietly submits. And quietly submits to him. Sit in quiet and quietly submit. It's not a typical human strong suit to submit. Not a natural inclination I have. But it is an absolute expectation of a disciple of Jesus Christ. You can't actually be a disciple unless you've submitted your lordship to him. It's a tough word. But my emoji says, time to move on. Say, seek a quiet place. Sometimes quiet trust is all he requires to battle darkness. You know that? Sometimes he just wants you, trust me. Just trust me. Go out on a limb and trust me with this. Sling this little stone at that big dude. Trust me. Just wave my staff over the water. Oh, the water's going to part. Come out of the boat and step. Yep. Sometimes you just got to trust God. If you're a disciple, you're going to have moments. You're going to have to go. You might not be actually walking the water, but he's going to tell you to do something. You go, that's just a little crazy. You should hear him before you do the crazy. Just don't do the crazy. We're good at doing crazy, some of us. Tell me something crazy. I'll do it. You know? Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you while you only need to keep silent and remain calm. Is anybody awesome at that? Anybody? Bueller? Anyone? 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 Bueller? No? Like none of us are awesome at that? Oh, wow, we got work to do then. We are family, right? We're going to have to work on it then. If none of us are awesome at it, someone's got to get awesome at this. Especially to remain calm. Sometimes I can keep quiet because I bite my lip. But I ain't so silent inside. You know, just because I'm standing at the stoplight and the person ran by it and was all crazy and I went, doesn't mean I was quiet in here. And I certainly wasn't calm as I'm driving to see where they may pull over, you know. It's not what I did, though. Isaiah 30:15. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said this, in returning to me, say priority, and rest, say rest, you shall be saved in quietness, and confident trust is your strength. You want to be stronger than you've ever been for what God has next, this next season in your life. I'm going to desperately implore you as your pastor, as your friend, as a human, as someone who knows God, and I'm desiring to know him even more. I'm going to implore you. This is your year. You understand how to do this. Keep dragging your net like you've been dragging your net. It's going to have holes in it, and you're not going to catch fish. You keep burning at both ends from a guy who hit burnout, almost walked completely away from ministry. Has to do a regular maintenance program so I can maintain in the body of Christ and be who I am. I'm trying to implore you, don't do the same stupid things I've done. Jesus, okay, well, who are you? I'm going to talk about Jesus. How often did he go away to a quiet? Often. How important do you think Father God thinks it is? It's in the top 10. It's actually in the top 5. Right? Top 5. We don't do a top 5 thing for God. And we are the church. We want to yell at the world for not doing stuff for God, and we don't do one of his top 5. Eek. Pastor, you said that emoji said to move on. All right, I'm moving on. Do not be unwilling to seek him in a quiet place as a priority this year. Don't be unwilling. That's what the rest of that scripture says. The rest of you shall be saved in quietness and confident trust is your strength. But you were not willing. just walked out of church after God spoke to you and didn't do a single thing with the thing you were so moved to tears over there about. Or the thing you read last week, or that prayer you had, and then you went to, you know, Hot Chins and you got a fortune cookie and you got confirmation from God in your fortune cookie. The thing, whatever it was, God spoke to you about, I'm going to do it, right? But you were not willing to follow through with something so simple to someone that you loved. How hurt would someone you love be if said, I got to talk them into spending time with you? Yeah. I'm trying to talk them in to spend time with you because you love them so much, and I want them to see how much you love them. And I know that you can change their life forever with this kind of love, but I got to talk them into spending time with you. We've been married for 12 years. I've been saved for 12 years. God is looking at his church again and going, you're so pretty. And I love you so much, but I miss you. I love your praise and worship. Thank you for telling me how awesome I am. Thank you. I need it. I'm built to have praise. And I appreciate it. But as often as I ask you to praise me, I've asked you to say, will you just come sit with me and sip it and let me talk to you for a change? And if you do that, the mountains you've been waiting to move, they're moving. The people you've been waiting to touch their lives, they're going to be touched. The things that you've needed the strength for will come out of your quiet place. Say, I need a quiet place too. Go ahead and stand with me. Pastor, do you mind coming up? Don't be unwilling this year. Seek quiet as a priority with God. Not just, I just need a minute. And you know, I need the Nestle plunge. You know? What was that one? Something, take me away. Nescafe. I don't know what. What was it? Calgon, take me away. I get quiet place. I do all the time, Pastor. I shut the kids out. I throw the hot bath on. I bath bomb it a little bit, you know. My quiet place. Awesome if you're spending time with one you love or you're just satisfying yourself. We're selfish lovers when it comes to God. And he's saying, I love you so much that hasn't mattered. But I love you so much to say, I need you this year in my quiet place. I need you closer than you've ever been because you're about to do things you've never done. If you can hear me in the quiet place, I'm going to make you so secure in our relationship. How many an insecure relationship with God? Sometimes you don't know if he really loves you, knows you, or if he sees you. He says he says his word, but you don't feel it. You want to get security? Spend time with him. Nothing does security to a relationship like quality and quantity of time. God, that's what he's asking for quiet this year. What he's saying is, I want you to be so secure in my relationship that when I send you out, nothing can break us apart. This is your year to be so strong, Miles. This is your year, baby. God's going to do crazy things with you girls. I'm so proud of your obedience. I'm so sorry. I am so proud of your obedience. Even hearing the things that you were sharing with me up there, a maturity that God is placing in your lives at your age is unfathomable. And you're going for some training and for some good times, but I'm asking you never forget when you're away. With all the voices of Hawaii and the roar of the surfs and all the boys winking at your Christian girls going, what? Don't neglect your quiet place. The one that you love the most sent you there to spend time with you. It's a honeymoon. Get everything out of it. You're world changers. Father, I thank you for the rest of the world changers in this building this morning. Draw the rest of us so sweetly to that quiet place. You don't yell across the room, say, get over here and spend time with me. But Lord, you woo us so sweetly because you love us so much. Father, help us take advantage of a quiet place this year. That fasting and prayer aren't those things that we look to avoid, but we look to actually participate in because we see the benefit of our love. We see the strength in our relationship this year, that your church would be so strong in its relationship with you that we couldn't be separated from you. And you bless every heart and every hand here, Father. Physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, Father, your Spirit would come and heal every body, every sickness, every disease, and no one would get the credit but you. For you are good, and you are greatly to be praised. And his church said, amen.